We now continue with part two of the First Friday interview as Tim and Amy share more of their story with Pastor Skip.
And he can tell you then what that meant to him.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear that part. Go ahead, Tim.
One of my bubbles had burst. My wife, my marriage burst because she left the wedding ring and everything. So I thought I'd lost a big part of my life, that, my career, and my activities that I was doing. And this one was gone. There were two sides of me at that point. One side was, yay, now I don't have to worry about hiding it from somebody. I can do this stuff that I'm doing freely and just go out and do whatever I want to do. But then another part is missing what we've had for so long, the friendship, the marriage. And then she calls on our wedding anniversary. I never expected to hear from her again, never. I thought, this was it. I have beaten our marriage and her so far into the ground with what I'm doing that it's over. I was going to isolate myself from pretty much everybody. When Amy left, she went and told everybody, told all the family, told everybody about what I was doing. So to me, it was, I got to go into absolute, I got to get away from everybody at this. But I'm still in the Navy, and I'm still got this. So I'm thinking I'm just going to go off in that part of my life, and everything in the past, it's gone. She calls, not expecting it, not expecting any of the words that she's going to talk about. But she said it. She said, I loved you, and a little light. That's what I call it, because that's essentially what it was to me. There was a little light somewhere inside of me went off. And it was, to me, at that point in my life, it was an annoying little light. Why is that light there? Why? I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
She said something that sparked something, and it was like an itch that I couldn't scratch, and it wouldn't go away, and it just slowly continued to grow. And I thought, part of the ramifications of all this happening, I got a very one-sided conversation from my father of, you will do the following. You will get divorced. You will, pay her more than half of, whatever's the money and everything. You've got a problem. You will go solve your problem. And there were a couple other items. But, the one that kind of struck me was, I must have, everyone's saying I got a problem. And then this bubble has completely burst. Life at that point to me had been, everything was good to go. You just got to kind of keep them in its own separate little world. But this side of my world had come crashing down, so there must be something wrong. Maybe I need to go look into this. So initially I started reading a lot of different things on sexual addiction, looked it up. Man, oh, wow, it is such a thing. And what I started to read was, okay, that's me. But it really didn't kick in other than, okay, I'm starting to recognize I may have something. I'm really not that bad. Maybe it's kind of reading my life for most of it. And then the next thought was, okay, I'm a Christian. Maybe I should start looking back into that thing. So initially, as I was working through some of the stuff that my dad had said, I was going to a counselor. I was talking to her. She was helping me the way she could. But the other thing was Sexaholics Anonymous, those kind of groups. They're out there. And I started, okay, I'm going to go to this. I'm just going to listen and see what, what's going on. I tried to go to one of the meetings, which was a ways out of Washington, D.C., and it just didn't happen that night. So I was angry, and I was going to go do what I wanted to normally do. But I thought, okay, that's my typical behavior. I'm thinking I might have a problem. Maybe I should go to a bookstore. And so when I went into a bookstore, I thought, okay, maybe I need to focus on the Christian books and not on just the sex books and the sex problems books. So I went, I'm kind of moving towards the Christian aisle, and one of the main aisle column headings was Philip Yancey's book, The Jesus I Never Knew. Jesus is just staring at me. He's got the little picture of him on there, and I'm like, maybe I don't know Jesus. Grab the book, along with a bunch of other books. But that was my thought when I looked at it. Maybe I don't know him. Maybe I am completely... I think I do. I've been in the church my entire life. Maybe I don't. So I picked up the book, and it was one of a couple that I took home. But I started reading it. What she had said was still burning. That, how could she possibly love me? So I just start reading the book. And the way he wrote it was that you just feel like you're there. You're just one of the apostles. You're just number 13 or 14 off in the background, not really the main guys. But you're there with him on everything he's doing, and that's how he wrote it. And it brought me there, and I started to realize, maybe this is true. Yeah. And as I kept reading, it's just, okay, if it is true, I'm going through the rationalization. If it is true, then these other things that I'm doing are probably wrong. And then the battle begins of, if I believe in what this is, which really I'm believing it's true. Everything it's saying is I'm getting more stuff. I started getting stuff from, she had started to attend a Calvary Chapel out in San Diego and had pointed me in that direction because we were sort of communicating via email at this point. So I started listening to some of Chuck Smith's stuff and some other stuff that I'd found on the internet, and it was speaking to me. It was speaking truth to me, but I didn't want it because this part of my life was so important and it had such a pull on me and had, you know, to me it's so important that, you know, the Lord was slowly working on me. I didn't get it at this point yet, but he was. Okay, you know, you read some of this, you dabble in some of this, and I'm going to show you. And eventually it came to it, what I kind of describe as I was in the basement of my house in Maryland, pretty much all the stuff that she had taken back to San Diego, but I'm living in the basement, still trying to live my life, and I'm reading further in this book, and it just, this is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And,
was that the first time it really dawned on you? Was that because I'm looking at your face and I'm seeing emotion, and it's almost like that was an epiphany for you.
It was like opening up of, but it was an opening up. But it was, to me, I was still, if I believe this, then there's consequences to believing that.
Yes,
and you know, I'm still holding on to this idea of what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But at this particular evening, it was, I felt it like the Lord was showing me, okay, you think you want that bubble of stuff. Here's the result of that. And it, to me, it was like a feeling of just absolute utter blackness and darkness. And it was like, wow. And I just kept reading it and reading more and listening more. And I said, this is truth. And it broke down. I broke down in the basement. And just said, you know, Lord, if you are who you say you are, and I'm believing it, help me, because, man, I want that.
Oh.
I want that stuff so bad. The tentacles had dug in so deep that I didn't even know they were there. You know, but I can look back on it now and I can see the whole process of this. I was doing things that I had year before. I will never do that.
Hmm.
I was at that and beyond and doing stuff that I had said, I will never do that kind of stuff. But I'd done it.
So would you say that moment, that time you were praying, was that the time you received Christ?
Yes.
And that's, so here you are, church going, I want to just frame this, a church going young man marries another church going young lady, and you guys thought that was enough. But you come to realize through all of this pain and agony that you really hadn't surrendered to Christ. You weren't a Christian.
No.
In the biblical definition.
Correct.
But then you came to a point of, I'm repenting, I'm turning to him. What happened after that, Amy?
I had my own experience, too. A friend had invited me to go to Calvary Chapel in North County. And I didn't want to go back to our Lutheran church because I didn't want anyone to know everything that was going on. So I went, and I sat in that service, and the pastor was talking about keeping your focus on Jesus. And that struck a chord, and I just started bawling. Then I opened up the bulletin, and it said that a women's Bible study was starting that coming Wednesday. And it was called Keeping Your Focus When Your Dreams Have Been Shattered. And it was a preset.
Tailor-made.
Yep. It might as well have said, Dear Amy, take this, love God. I mean, it was just amazing. And I went, and I'd never been to a real Bible study before, and those women were so amazing. When it got to me, I was shaking and crying. I had to tell them why I was there. And they stopped what they were doing. They came around me and put their hands on me and prayed for me, and I just felt so amazing. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. I still didn't know at this point what was going to happen with our marriage. So I kind of made a covenant, if you will, with the Lord, and I said, I will do this study faithfully. I have no idea what you want me to do about our marriage, but I know that if I do this faithfully, by the end of this study, you will give me the answers I'm looking for and tell me what I'm supposed to do. And he did. And I did my part. I studied. I dug into God's Word. I didn't like, it was similar to Tim, I didn't like what I was reading because it was so different from my own theology that I'd made up. The biggest one was we were studying the story of Joseph and how his brothers sold him into slavery and how they meant it for evil, but God used it for good. And that just, it was like I got punched in the stomach when I understood that, because I thought, God allows trials in your life? What? That doesn't sound right. That wasn't my version of what I thought Christianity was about. I had a Santa Claus God, you know, as long as you're a Christian, everything goes well. I really had that theology. So it was really hard for me to hear that. And also, so Tim and I were talking via email and we were sharing what we were learning. And he came out to visit me once, and I went there to visit him. When he came out, he was so on fire for the Word of God, and he said, it is absolute truth. And I just looked at him, but I wasn't there yet. So we were each on our own journeys to the Lord. It took me, the pastor would have, you know, the altar calls. You come forward, and if you need prayer, oh my gosh, I shot up to that altar 4 weeks in a row, and yet I describe it as I was on one side of a river. I could see that where I needed to be. I was at point A. I knew I needed to be at point B, but I couldn't get there, and I couldn't get myself to get there. And so these four times in a row, I went up and I was praying, you know, and I knew that there was more, and I knew it was about a surrender. I couldn't quite grasp it. Then Tim had told me about the Jesus I Never Knew book, and I read it as well. And there was a chapter on grace, and it was talking about Mary at the feet of Jesus and crying and weeping at his feet, and then drying his feet with her hair. And I had long hair at the time, and I put myself in her place, and all of a sudden, the light went off. And I knew that he had died for me. And when I understood, when I really understood his grace, I surrendered. So we each had our own.
Conversion.
That's very
experience.
Important. Yes, it's very important. It's as personal. Individuals, you know, your family can't get you there. Your husband can't get you there. It's your own relationship.
So what happened from that point to reconcile the marriage that still was shattered, still all of that water was under the bridge, it still seemed very irreconcilable? How did God's forgiving you enable you to forgive each other?
I think more important was her forgiveness of me, but... Mm-hmm. My timeline was a little earlier than hers. I accepted Christ and came to the Lord a little bit earlier, but my thought was, this is a radical transformation for my life, and I'm clueless. The stuff I'm reading is not, I mean, I'd heard it before in church, sort of. I mean, to me, church growing up was just another subject. I went to school 5 days a week, went to church on Sunday. It was just another subject, like history, math, and all the others. It was just something else you learned. But now, with what had happened in my experience, I needed to know more. I needed to know everything. I need to know the truth. So I'm just reading and reading and reading and reading and everything, and I'm just looking at the Lord saying, whatever, Lord. If the Navy's over, tell me. If this is over, tell me. If we're not going to get back together, fine. But I need to know your truth, and I need to start obeying that truth and putting these things away. Was my desire for pornography, sex, gone? No, still isn't to this day. It's a struggle. It's a battle. But, you know, the Lord has taken it away, stripped off a little of the desire over the years. But I looked at our marriage as, that's up to the Lord. I'm not going to be the one, because I have trampled that thing completely into nothingness. It doesn't exist anymore. We're still communicating because we were such friends that I was telling her what I was going through, the experiences I was having with what I'm reading, the truth, you know, to going different places, just to let her know, and, you know, okay, we'll see where it goes. I went out just because, the Lord's kind of telling me to go out, and she's still my wife. We're not divorced. We had both gone to lawyers. We were a pen stroke away from a divorce.
Wow.
But it just was never going through. The Lord's holding that off because he's working on both of us on a kind of a different timeline. But the bigger forgiveness, I think, is what Amy will talk about.
he hit on it. It's obedience. I knew that the Lord was telling me to go back. And when I consulted with anyone around me, my family, my friends, there were a couple people that, you know, had the biblical view, and they said, yes, you need to reconcile. But for the most part, my parents, his parents, no.
Hmm.
No, you need to divorce. It's
what did
not
you feel
flexible.
Like inside? Did you feel like you wanted to be with him again?
I was scared. I was scared because I could tell I was hearing what the Lord was telling me to do, but it was going to be a big leap of faith.
Okay.
And so I was scared, but I wanted to obey God. I wanted to obey God, and I put his desires and his will above mine or anyone else's, and I'm thankful for that now. Very thankful.
So who made the call and said, we need to get back together and work this through?
I think it was kind of a mutual talking about it.
I think it was over time, too. Yeah. I had gone out there, and then she came back to Maryland to visit 4 months later, maybe 4 or 5 months later. Just, I think, for her own purpose, maybe testing the waters to see. I, at that point, had started going to Calvary Chapel down in Alexandria. You know, I had been talking to Pastor Tom down there about here's my life. Here's what's just happened in my life. You're now my pastor. Help. Give me advice. Give me any input. And I was going to the Bible studies. I was going to church. And, you know, it was a tiny little congregation in a gym of an elementary school. You know, to me, totally foreign. I'm used to the, you know, big.
Churchy.
Yeah, churchy stuff. But I remember the first time I walked in, originally trying to find the place, I thought, Alexandria, I know where Alexandria is. I'll just drive down to Alexandria and find Calvary Chapel. You know, church is a church. You can find a church. I'm in Alexandria driving all over that town looking for Calvary Chapel. Never found it until I asked a gas station guy, and he kind of pointed me in the direction. So and then I found one of their little signs that they put out in the street and drove up. I'm like, this is a school. Went into the auditorium, but as soon as I went in, there were maybe 25 people in there. I was like, this is home. I mean, just the songs they were singing and what the pastor was saying, the truth of it just touched my heart. And I mean, crying to myself, I'm not an overly, you know, bawling and breaking down, but I knew, it was like, I can feel the Spirit here. Mm. This is something totally foreign to me, but that's where I started going to church, and I just laid it all out to Pastor Tom. And I think we were just communicating back and forth and just both of us letting, okay, she was having more of a struggle because to me it was, if she's going to come back, it's kind of up to her. I'm not going to be the one.
Yep.
It's not up to me. You know, I'm talking to the Lord. You know, Lord, if this is what you want, you know, my desire would be, I don't know. Because I've seen what I've done to it in the past, I was still clueless as to what would happen if we got back together.
You were wondering if you were even capable
yes.
of following through, right,
yes.
at that point. So when you guys got back together, how hard was that? What things did you do to nourish and nurture your relationship after all of that brokenness? What things did you do to get back on target?
We were always in church. We went to two services. We went to two different churches even. And we went one on Saturday night and one on Sunday. But we were praying together. We were openly communicating for the first time in our marriage. I had learned to do that when we were separated, is I'm going to say what I feel regardless of how it makes him feel, because I got to get it out. Mm-hmm. I have to tell him the truth.
And he has to know what you're thinking
and
feeling.
Yeah, he has to know what I'm really feeling. And it was hard. It was so hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because I went through a lot of feeling so lonely and wondering if I'd made the right decision and being scared. But I have to tell you, I clung to God's word and what he said in his word. And at the time I found Psalm 42, and it was talking about, why so downcast, oh my soul, why so disturbed within me? But yet I will trust you. Mm-hmm. I will put my hope in the Lord and trust you. And so I did that, and I started, and praise you. And I started doing that. I started praising the Lord in my difficulties, you know, he had at this, we laugh about this now, but he'd also stripped the house down to the studs while I was gone. And it was wintertime and it was freezing cold. And so I was painting trim that was going to go up in the house. And he was at work and I was all by myself and I didn't know anyone. And I'm painting the trim and I'm saying, I'm thanking God that we have a home. And I'm thank you, Lord, that, you know, And I'm putting into practice what that song had taught me. It's praising him in the midst. He was there. He was working. He was working in our lives. And it took time. It took a lot of, you know, just forgiving and learning to trust one another.
I think the biggest thing is trust.
Mm-hmm. And that takes time, doesn't it?
Because it took about 4 or 5 years for her finally to come to me and tell me that. And we were living in Thailand at that point where she told me that.
Wow.
I trust you now. And, you know, handed me her heart, essentially, to me and said,
boy,
I'm giving this back to you.
Yep. You know, you can destroy trust in a flash, but it takes so long to regain it.
Yep.
So you hit on a very important truth. So that was years later. It wasn't overnight. It was a long, arduous process of trusting Scripture, obeying the Lord. But it paid off, didn't it?
Oh, yes.
I mean, here's the marriage. How long have you guys now been back together since all that?
10 years.
Ten years since that. Wow.
10 years.
Okay, so now, this is what I want you to, Tim and Amy, I want you to talk to people who are listening to this, because I know a lot are resonating. Amy, what do you tell a woman who's discovering things like this, maybe not so severe, maybe just things on the internet or things her husband is reading or people that he's talking to that he shouldn't? What do you tell him?
You have to be willing to confront your husband, but make sure, I think, you know, in our case, neither one of us were truly following the Lord. He used this to bring us to the Lord. So I think it's very important to know where each of you stand with the Lord first. If the woman is a strong Christian and perhaps her husband isn't, well, that's the main issue first. You know, don't try to fix, you know, put a salve on something that where the deeper issue is that they haven't come to Christ yet. So if they truly are in the Lord and you know that, then I would say you have to confront them in love, as the Bible says. Make sure you've prayed about it, you have the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that you come to them humbly, you know, knowing that you are a sinner as well. But you need to be able to talk to them, be open about it. Don't deny it. Don't sweep it under the carpet. And you're going to have to say, you know, I love you, and I want what's best in your life as well. Hmm. And this isn't the best that God has for you. And I'm going to stick by you, but we need to work on it. We need to work on this together. So, you know, there's so many, it's hard to say exactly because there's so many different factors in each relationship. But the main thing is, where are each of you in the Lord? And are you seeking him with all your heart? And if not, how you can help one another do that, spur one another on. You
know? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tim, to the guy listening who's been doing this a long time, what do you say to him? Because men face temptations, and you even said, you know what? We still face him. I still face him. You mentioned that. It hadn't gone away. It's a struggle. It's a battle. How do you fight that battle?
I think what Amy said was very important. Are you a believer or are you not? There's the separation right there. If you're a believer and you're even dabbling, if you're even considering pornography in any way, I mean, there's a multitude of stuff out there. You're opening a door for Satan to get into, and his whole purpose then is to steal, kill, and destroy, however he can do it. But you open that door, if it's the internet, if it's, we don't even have cable television in our house anymore. I can't have it. I don't have access to the internet. I did for a little while, and I can't handle it. I can't, because this desire to want to just, I'll just go look. You know, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You have to. You have to do certain things. Accountability, if you have to have accountability, then do it. Whatever it takes to not open that door, because as soon as you open it up in the slightest bit, he's watching. You know, Satan's prowling around looking, waiting for what you're going to do. If it's in your thought world, if it's in whatever world, he's going to find a way to get in and steal, kill, and destroy. Now, a non-believer, you don't realize the tentacles that are coming into your life with any sin, whether it's, you know, alcohol, pornography, drugs, whatever it is. It all looks glorious. It all looks, I mean, as you had mentioned in one of your recent sermons, was sin is looks good.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's enticing, and it looks great, but you have no idea. You don't. you couldn't have told me before 2000 that what I was doing was wrong. I wouldn't have believed you. I thought everything makes me happy. That was my philosophy. And even knowing that, you know, you can get a disease, you can get this, you can do that. So it's worth it. And I'm, you know, I'm invincible. I'm in my 20s. I'm invincible.
Did you ever feel guilty after an episode?
Yeah, you always feel that little tinge of guilt of, why did I do this? And more, you know, I think I could write it off as, well, maybe that just wasn't the right experience. I'll find somebody else. Maybe it's because of who I was with or whatever. But not, I don't remember ever being that. But you kind of, you slowly, your first time, yes, you're like, oh, man, this is not, this can't, something's wrong here. You get, you know, your conscience is, but you can sear your conscience and you can put your conscience away very quickly as you just continue the very tiny little steps in that direction you never thought you'd go. And I did it. I had it seared completely that, I mean, Amy can tell you and I can go and tell some of the stuff that I was saying that was just horrendous. But I thought it was, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with this. I wanted to have that life and my marriage. Why can't you understand that?
Do you guys have kids?
We have two little girls now.
Two little girls. Now, how old are they?
5 and 2.
So since you've been restored, God has given you not only your marriage back, but a family.
Yes. We had never wanted kids before we were before we had come to the Lord. That was part of kind of what attracted to us, too. We were both kind of mission or career-oriented, and kids weren't part of that.
Now, Amy, you've written a book because you gave me one as a gift for my new little grandson, Seth, and it's called, I got it here, The Humble Bumble Baby Journal. You're a graphic artist. You mentioned that you did that. So this is a book that you designed, is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, the neat thing is that when Tim and I were still together and in San Diego, I was starting on along a path of designing my own line of greeting cards and stuff like that, and I had the perfect name for this company, and it was called Amiables. Because it played off my name. But when I tried to get it copyrighted or trademarked, someone had already taken it.
Oh.
So I thought, oh, that I was so upset because I thought, oh, it's a perfect name. There's no better name than that. Well, when all this happened with us and I moved back to San Diego, the Lord brought to mind the name Humble Bumbles. And I had already used a B in my logo when it was Amiables. And he was humbling me. And so he gave me that name. And then the way the baby journal came about was that I had already published two children's books. And the publisher that I was using in San Diego contacted me and asked me if I would do a baby journal with my characters. And I said, yes, but it's going to have scripture in it. And he said, I don't know about that. How about nothing that says God? And I said, no. And we had a heart-to-heart. You know, here I am a new believer, and I'm sharing, you know, my heart and my faith with him. And I said, you know, Alex, I know that if you keep that scripture in there, I know that the Lord will bless this, and it will do well, and that, you know, I know he'll bless it. And to date, it's sold 250,000, and it's his best-selling book, I think. And so it's all, you know, all the glory goes back to the Lord and all what he's done. And so he gave me that name, Humble Bumbles, and he, through humbling me in our marriage, and it's neat to see, and I'm anxious to see what he has in store for that in the future.
How's your marriage today?
Wonderful.
It's
something I never thought was even, it wasn't even in my bubble of possible.
Is it easy? Do you have to still work at it?
Oh, yeah, you still have to work at it.
Yeah.
But our communication is so much better now that when we don't let it stew and, you know, build up, it's okay, we need to talk. And I'm not the easiest person to talk to. It's my family. We're not the most communicative of folks, but our communication has definitely increased. And as we continue to, I know it, when I start not being in the Word and I start not doing something, everything starts to, I know it's getting bad. I've got to get back. I got to, Lord, you know, I was starting to veer to a little bit to the right, get me back in the center line. And I know when those times are happening. But I'm at something, a relationship and a communication that we have that I remember early on, or, you know, she would ask me, let's talk. And it's like, oh, what does that mean? I don't even know what you want me to do. I just didn't get it. I, you know, t- talk, as simple as talk, open up and share your feelings. I mean, feelings, I don't even know what feelings are. I don't even have feelings. I mean, I was at that point, and, you know, and now I know sort of. I'm still learning. It's still the man-woman thing. We're different. But I the Lord's opening it up more and helping me to understand my wife more. And the beauty of that, and then the love just grows then.
And I really want our listeners to pick up on something that it can be better than just a good marriage. It can really get to be great.
Yes.
Fabulous. And more so as one increases in that commitment with the Lord and with each other.
Yes.
His resources, unbelievable.
Limitless.
He healed something that is an impossible situation. Now, I know that our listeners don't have the ability to see in the studio to pick up the emotion that's been on our cheeks, the tears that have been here, but what a great interview. I've enjoyed it. Tim and Amy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
God
bless.
You.